Wow, what a message. I've never heard that song before. And didn't Miss Joy do a fantastic job singing it? Well, as you know, I'm Loretta Walker. I'm so proud to be here. Oh, this is not hillbilly, it's western. I gotta remember that. I'm gonna put this down so I can see you chicks over there in case you get doing things I didn't want you to do. You know, when you agree with something, you're supposed to wave your bandana. Somebody told me this is not a handkerchief, it's a bandana. And you can't use it for your nose. But then, after you use it for your nose, make sure to hold it in your hand, don't flop it on somebody else. Belinda, when we were singing, was flopping hers in front of my face, and I was thinking, I hope she hasn't used this yet. I am so happy. Didn't you all know that we're in an economic crisis? What are you doing here? I cannot believe we have a room full of ladies. But you know what? While I was listening to that song, I thought, I feel the Holy Spirit here. It's very evident that the Holy Spirit's meeting with us. One of the men came up to me and said, just want you to know, Loretta, we've been praying for you that God would give you the right words to say to help people. And I thought, you know, I just feel it. I feel like God's here, and I'm so happy that he's here with us because I don't want to do anything without him. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for these great ladies. Thank you for this good church, the time they've put into having this conference. I pray you'll bless now and help me, hold sweet Holy Spirit, to say only what you'd want me to say as you'd want me to say it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay. Oh, you're giving out fans. Oh, look at the fans, Belinda. Oh, how cute. I like those fans. I'm not even hot. I'm not menopausal or anything. Look through the crowd. All the ones that are fanning, it's menopause time. And if it's not menopause time, it's premenopause or postmenopause. We're all in it somewhere or another. How cute. Now, you know what? This year, Christian Womanhood, I work for an organization. I don't get no paycheck, but I do try to help them sometimes. For an organization called Christian Womanhood, this kind church has allowed us to bring some materials here from them. They have a magazine that they put out every month, and there's other deals they got going back there. And then we're having a conference next month, October 21st through the 23rd. And the theme of the conference is Southern Grace. You ladies, all you Southern sweets, Southern belles, you'd fit in up there. And every time you say, bless your heart, I know you mean sticker with a knife. No. But, you know, I fit in with this Western theme. You know, I wore my boots. Don't take pictures like that. Get me posing like I'm a model or something, but not. But anyway, Southern Grace, that I'm really not a gracious, you know, sweet lady like that. You know, I can't even cross my legs right. You know what I mean by that? I don't know if you understand this or not, but you got to have thin legs to cross your legs right. When I try to cross my legs right, they look like this. That's stupid looking, isn't it? You know, or else I go like, don't take pictures. Did you see that? For all the world to see, delete that picture right now. I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying? You are not listening to a speaker that's gracious and southern and all that sweet stuff. Like, you know, I don't say bless your heart. I say, you want to hear a good story about somebody? But anyway, I'm just kidding you. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm just not that type of person. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, you know, troubled home. And when I say troubled, I mean, you know, we had alcoholics, drugs. We had a lot of things that people in Christian homes don't have. So I've done a lot of studying about people that come from troubled homes. And I'm going to speak today about the man that made the difference. That's why I said the Holy Spirit's in charge here, because that song just fits this talk so well. You see, a lot of you out here, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you hadn't, you can find that out today. It's the most wonderful thing that can happen to you. But getting saved doesn't fix all the things that you had that were wrong with you before you got saved. I got saved at the age of 17. I got saved through the bus ministry in a local church. And then when I got saved, a month after I got saved, I got into the Word of God. And I really believe it was the Word of God that changed my life. But let me go over 8 abuses that perhaps somebody in this room is suffering from. There's verbal abuse. That verbal abuse is when somebody grates on you all the time. This might be an abuse that that happened way in the past, or it may be right now that you're suffering from it. I don't know you ladies. One of the nice things about coming and speaking at these conferences is we don't know them. We can say whatever the Holy Spirit tells us to say, and you can't say, hey, he's talking about me. You know, because we just don't know who you are. But there might be somebody here, and you have somebody in your life right now that constantly puts you down, tells you you're stupid. You know, makes you feel stupid, you know, whatever it is. So that's verbal abuse. The second one is sexual abuse. Of course, we don't have to explain sexual abuse. Sexual abuse can range anywhere from somebody touching you as a child, where they shouldn't touch you, to the full way of sexual abuse. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people, under the sound of my voice, that you have experienced sexual abuse. Somebody had sex with you without you being willing years ago. I tell people this, that, and I don't explain any of the abuses that I went through as a child, but I tell people I knew about sex at the age of 5. 5-year-olds shouldn't know about sex. It taints your thinking about sex, you know, unless you work on that. So the third one is abandonment. Abandonment can be voluntary or involuntary. You know, abandonment means somebody left you. Somebody exited out of your life. I know young lady, Belinda and I both know a young lady whose mother left her and her father and brother when she was a young girl. That's really hard to live in a house and know your mom chose another man over you. That would be very hard. So that's voluntary abandonment, but there's also an involuntary abandonment. And that might mean that God took your mother or father or somebody special to you as a young child, meaning they went to heaven. Now, that's involuntary. Nobody did it on purpose, but it just happened. Another type of abuse is perfectionism. You might have had somebody in your life, and this is getting more and more, that was a perfectionist, and you felt like you could never please that person. That's a hard thing to live with. Now, while I'm saying this, can I say this to you ladies that are under the sound of my voice? You might be the person I'm talking about that's abusing somebody right now. You better make sure you can please the people you love, or the people that you love feel like they can please you. That's what I meant to say. Meaning that, you know, you're saying positive things and, oh, you did that so well. Thank you for doing that. I don't know how you know how to do that. Then you can give a few corrections. No, you're not supposed to do it like that. Let's do it this way. You know, perfectionism. Another one is the parents' lack of love for each other. Did you realize that was an abuse? Parents, when you are in a home where the parents don't love each other and act like they love each other, it is very hard. It makes for tension. It makes for, if you are in a home, right, if you're in a situation right now and you're husband and wife and you're at each other all the time and you're fighting him, maybe you're taking up for the boys. This is what I'm seeing more than ever before, is the mother takes the side of the boys. And that's why we have sissy boys. Because you moms are protective. And you won't let the husbands take them out and let them wreck on a motorcycle. I had one wreck recently. That's why I'm saying that. And you think, oh, I don't want them to wreck. You know, I don't want to. Listen, life is full of ups and downs. And if your husband is a man and he wants your boys to be a man, shut up and let him make him a man. Amen. Let's not have tension in the home. Okay? So maybe you had that as a child. You knew that your parents didn't agree with each other. And that really makes for hard times. Emotional incest. I didn't know about this one until I read this book. Emotional incest is when you become a parent to your own parents. Means that they rely on you. They tell you everything that's going on in their life. A child cannot take that. A child cannot take being the leader. They don't have the emotional stamina. They don't have the maturity. Then the last one is receiving negative messages. Something like verbal abuse, but negative messages can also range in no hugs, you know, no affection. That could be negative messages. And what people do is they grow up thinking, who am I? Am I really any good? You know, people that are suicidal have negative messages running around in their heads. Out of these 8 abuses, I suffered 6 of them as a child. So therefore, I really shouldn't be here except for the man that made the difference in my life. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 18. Now, let me say this. If you were a person that did not experience any of these 8 abuses, but you have a tendency to get your feelings hurt easily, You get offended. There's a man that can make the difference in your life. He can help you with those hurts. You know, people say things they don't really mean. We've had people come in our house, and one girl said to me just in the last couple of months, a teenage girl came up to me and she said, "You know, you really shouldn't drink Diet Coke. It's bad for you." I wanted to say, "Who made you my boss?" You know, I just don't like people telling me things like that, especially when it's something that I hold dear to my heart. How many are with me on this? Let's have a witness here. You know, my three loves in life. Kevin Walker. I'm supposed to love him. I'm supposed to say it first too, but I'm not sure about it really. Oh no, I'm kidding. Diet Coke and coffee. But I do love my husband. I'm just teasing. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 18. And he must needs go through Samaria. This is talking about Jesus. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Now, I when I read the Bible, I always put expression in it. I don't really believe this woman said, "How is it you're asking me, sir?" You know, because later on I see she's a very hurt individual. And when you're a hurt individual, it shows on the outside. Some of you are very deep hurts from your past, and you try to hide them. But it might not show when everything's going well. What I find in my life is my hurts show the most when things are not going well. When I'm in troubled times. That's when the real Loretta Walker comes out. So I think she said it a little bit like that. "How is it you're asking me?" I like it. I like what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God," he didn't even address the attack. You know, some of us need to learn to just pass over people's indiscretions. He looked the other way. He didn't take it personally. You know, we women are so sensitive. "She said this to me, and this is really what she meant." You know, that's how we do. We always interpret what people are saying and why they're saying. It's not what you're saying, it's why you're saying. You know, she really thinks I'm stupid, and that's why she said that. You know, she might act like she was joking, but I think she knows. You know, we think all these thoughts. And so the woman... So Jesus said, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water." Then the woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this well shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of springing, a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And I think there's a ladies in this room today, and if I could talk to you one-on-one, you'd say to me, "Loretta, give me of this water. I hurt." You say, I'm living in a very hard situation right now. Or, "I hurt from my past." And so you say, "Give me this water that I thirst not." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call." And I think this was a trick. I think Jesus was trying to say, "I wonder if she's going to be honest with me." And he said, go call thy husband and come hither. Well, listen, let me say this to you right now. You've got to be honest with yourself. How do you really feel on the inside? It's not, "How am I supposed to feel? Oh, I'm supposed to feel good and I'm supposed to be loving everybody." But do you really have negative emotions? Now, do those negative emotions come out when things are not going well? That's the honest truth. And so she said, the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband." So everybody has a father. So she had a father. Then she had five husbands. Then she's living with a man right now. So she had seven men in her life. All seven of them disappointed her. How do I know? Because she's such a troubled woman. I can tell by the text. And some of us have had men. My father didn't know how to love me. He was not. When I remember as a child, he left home when I was in second grade. And I we really believe he set our house on fire. We lost everything in the fire, and because the police thought that he set it on fire, we didn't get any insurance money. So we lived with people for 3 or 4 years. My mom, my brother, and I, and an older person that didn't have any place else to live, moved from house to house with us. And we lived in deep poverty because my mom was not one that would go ask for help from anyone. And I personally feel like my father caused it. And I thought, he don't care about me. And that's why he did that. See, we form our own opinions about why people hurt us. And that's what causes us to be resentful and bitter. So she had 7 men in her life, but it was the 8th man that made the difference. And it was the second man in my life that made the difference. Because I didn't have any men before I had my dad and then Jesus. But you know what? When you get saved, that doesn't make the difference unless you let God make a difference in your life. And I'm going to teach you 3 ways to have a closer relationship with God so he can make a difference in your life. This will work for anybody. This will work for somebody that doesn't have deep hurts, but you have a loneliness. You know, there's people that come into this church, Miss Enos. I'm not saying it right. I just noticed it. Enos. It's E. Long E? Oh, it is Enos. Oh, I thought somebody said Enos this morning. And I thought, I've not been saying it right. People walk into your church, and you know, they feel like they don't belong. I think that's sad. But let me say this. You can walk into a crowd and say, where am I supposed to sit and who really wants me? Or you can walk in and say, who needs me to sit next to them? For what I can do and how I can make them feel. Yeah. Do you understand the difference between those 2 statements? So if you're hurt, and if you've been hurt in your past, or you have hurt feelings or ultra sensitive, there's a way for you to get over it. As I said, my dad was just really different, and the hugs were not a part of our life. You know, I remember one time, later on after he'd left, after second grade, I went up to him and I tried to hug him one time. And he sort of acted like you know how one of those kind of hugs, like, don't touch me, but I'll do like this to you. And I remember thinking, wow, it's so weird. My mom is a workaholic. And so it's not that she didn't love me. I just don't think she even thought about hugging me because it was not part of her life. Do you understand that we can be so busy serving somebody and doing for somebody that we don't love them? Make sure your family feels like you love them. But I wash the dishes and I clean their clothes and I service all these service things for them all the time. Why wouldn't they know I love them? Do you hug them? Do you tell them I love you? Do you take time to kiss them? Do you take time to praise them? That's how you show love. But so when I first started coming to the South, you know, I'm from West Virginia, and West Virginia is not really South. They're hillbillies. You know, you Southern people, you're so gracious. You know, sort of flow around. You know, I like watching you walk. You know, this little cute girl that's leading singing. You know, when I lead singing, it's out there like this. You know, she's sort of floating around here. You know, I like to watch her, but I'm a little envious. She's even in cowboy boots, and she does it that nice. So when I first started coming down to the South, you women hug a lot. You know, I was hugging somebody on the end over here, and this one lady, she even got up to hug me. So she even crawled over somebody to hug me, and I think, I would never have thought to do that earlier in my life, you know, because hugging wasn't a part of my life. And sometimes, even in the South, they kiss you on the cheek. Now, when I see lips coming, it's really bad. Now, my husband, on the other hand, he's from a very huggy, kissy family. He even still kisses his mom on the cheek. Can you imagine? Yes, you can imagine. There's nothing wrong with it. Ain't I silly for thinking that? When I first saw him kissing his mom on the cheek, I thought, I never knew men still did that. So I married. God made it so that I'd marry the 3rd man in my life, Kevin Walker. And he's a very huggy, kissy person. And you know what else God did to me? He made me be with him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He don't ever go away. Sometimes I want to say, go get another job. You know, so he wants to kiss all the time. I mean, all the time. I asked him one time, I said, how many kisses a day will it take to satisfy you? He said, Loretta, there's never enough. Now, for a girl that grew up and didn't hug and kiss, that is really, I mean, it's just really different. And I wanted to say, well, I'm just not that type. Are you that way? Do you tell people, I'm just not that type? That's just not me. You know, if you're not teachable enough to say, I can change, then you probably ought to walk out those doors right now, because there's no use even listening to anybody speak to you. If you're that stiff-necked, oh, that's such a hard word. So he said that. You know, and I told him, I said to him, I said, see these lips? I hardly have any. I was watching the news. I don't get to watch television that much, so I was watching the news yesterday. And they got something you put on your lips and it puffs them out, makes you look like you got some. Collagen? You know what I'm talking about, collagen? I was thinking about buying them. Maybe I could get some lips. You black people back there, you are laughing because you got plenty. Isn't that what you're thinking? But honest, I don't have any. Look, when I smile, they're completely gone. And I'm supposed to smile to make people feel friendly. You know, I'm supposed to smile, aren't I? You know? Oh, so I tell them, you're going to wear my lips out. I'm going to come here one year and you're going to say, what happened to Loretta's lips? I'm being a little silly, but do you understand what I'm saying, though? I could say, I'm just not going to learn how to hug people. Now, I hug you, and don't worry if you come hug me. I hug you back, and I might even give you a little peck if you kiss me, if that's what you like. Because I'm out to make people feel good. I'm not out for you to come up to me and do what I'm comfortable with. There's been a man that's entered my life that's made a difference in my life. And I'm going to adjust to the people around me instead of expecting everybody to adjust to me. See, if you're that type of person, says, well, I'm just this way, and I'm not going to change. Well, then there's no use even staying. You got to be teachable. You got to learn. You got to see what God has for you to learn in this. I grew up not respecting men. I thought men were stupid. You know, and the world is now trying to tell us that, right? They're trying to say men are dumb. You know, the sitcoms, they make the man look stupid and the woman comes in to rescue everybody. You know, it's terrible. So I'm going to give you fast 3 ways to build a relationship with God. I'm not going to labor over it at all. I'm just going to tell you 3 things that I wish you'd do every day for 90 days. I call it the 90-day challenge. I've got a book out there. I only brought 20 of them. It's just $10, and it's got scripture in it for 90 days that gives you scriptures about the love of God and about a relationship with God that you could buy this. But you don't have to have this book. You can do it yourself without the book. And you just ask yourself these 3 questions every day for 90 days, and I promise you'll see a difference in your relationship with God. I really believe having a relationship with God just means an awareness of God. Knowing that God's in your life. Don't be so busy serving God that you don't even watch for Him to do something. Number 1, what does this passage mean to me today? I never journaled. I didn't want to write down my thoughts. My thoughts were so negative, I've never journaled. But if you want to be somebody that learns from the Word of God, you'd make yourself, as you read, learn something. So for 90 days, you read the scripture and then you write down, what does this passage mean to me? Number 2, what did God do for me yesterday to show me that He loves me? He cares and He's with me. You know, this could range anywhere from a lady coming up to you at church and saying, your children really have a good spirit. You know, I wrote that down one day. I was going to Walmart to get, I was going to go to Walmart. How many of you like Walmart? When I say the word, warm, fuzzy feelings happen. I love going somewhere and get everything all at one time. It's just so much fun. But I was going to go to Walmart, and I borrowed a vehicle. My husband's an evangelist. We live in a motor home, and many times we don't have a vehicle. So I borrowed a vehicle to go to Walmart. My son went with me, and we went to Walmart, and I had a list of other things to get. So I got the other things, and sinus medicine, it wasn't on. You know, I was down in Florida, and they get yellow on their blacktops. From the pollen. Do y'all have that here, around here? Yeah. I didn't know y'all did that. It was so phenomenal, but that caused a lot of problems. So I'm almost back to the motorhome, and then I think, oh, Joe, I forgot to get the sinus medicine. That's what's so important to me to get that. So I had a GPS. I like my GPS. And I put in, you know, something about drugs, you know, and drugs. It took me down a back alley. No, I'm kidding. And I had a Walmart just 1.5 miles from me. So I went to the Walmart, and when I got in the Walmart, guess what? They had sinus medicine, the cheap over-the-counter sinus medicine, Walmart brand. Buy one, get one free. Well, I like a deal. So I wrote that down for one day. So it could be anything. Just watch for God. You know, that's just what's important is watch for God. Point number three, what am I going to do today to show someone else that God loves them? Now, if you have kids that fight each other all the time, make them write down something every day they're going to do to show their sibling that God loves them. You'd be surprised. Once they get in the habit of doing nice things for each other, you'd be surprised how much it enhances their relationship. So for my son, I might make him macaroni and cheese because he loves macaroni and cheese. Of course, for my husband, you know what that means. I'm going to initiate a bunch of kisses. And when I have my hands in the dishwater, and he comes up and hits me. You know how men do that? They come up and hit you in the backside. And that means stop and give me some attention. I do not want to do that. I'm a very goal-oriented person. So when he does that, then I might write down, I'll stop. Anytime he comes up and wants attention, I'll stop and give him my undivided attention. I might write that down for my husband. You know, I try to do it for both the men in my life right now, my son and my husband. For my 90-day challenge, I'm doing, that's what I do. I might wake up Joe real slowly instead of, hey, got time to get up, you know. He likes to, and I might hand him hot chocolate in bed. He thinks that's really cool stuff, you know. Find out things that shows God's love to your family. Now, I'm going to have a little invitation now. And this man up there is going to play a CD of mine that's song number 2. It talks about he's more than wonderful. The man that made the difference in my life is more than wonderful. And he wants to be more than wonderful to you. But you got to say, I want this relationship with God. I want it bad enough. I'll write these 3 questions down. I'll do them every day for 90 days. Then I'm going to look back and say, I think my relationship is more enhanced. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want you to think about this invitation as he plays this song. Think about our God and how wonderful he is. Think about how he can heal you, how he can help you with whatever is hurting you today. God's in charge of this session. The reason why she did that song is because God knows there's a lot of hurting hearts. Maybe you feel let down by God. Maybe your husband's unemployed right now and you say, why is God allowing me to go through this hurt? This is hard. I just barely got here, Loretta. I don't have enough money. God wants to be your father. He wants to love you and would love us and take care of
with
you.
A love that would not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know.
Father, thank you so much for these ladies. Now, ladies, as you have listened to that song and realized that your father is the answer to your problems, not going to a friend and telling them how somebody hurt you, not talking to anybody else. If you feel lonely, your father is the one. If you couldn't count on a man before, I understand, but you do have a heavenly father that is the answer. Now, how many of you, under the sound of my voice, you say, Loretta, I'm going to take this 90-day challenge and I'm going to ask God to make me a new woman, to give me more peace than I've ever felt in my entire life, that I've got a Heavenly Father I can count on. Anybody that's going to take that challenge and do those 3 questions every day? Thank you so much. Father, thank you for being with us. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving throughout the crowd. I pray now that they realize what you are and how you could be special to them. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Amen.